we're doing what we can to fix the world. And if everyone were to do what they could to fix the world, you know, instead of looking up and asking for permission or putting your head down and listening to orders, you know, we could fix it. There's fucking water on Mars, people. We just found out there's water on Mars. That's some crazy shit. That means there might have been life on Mars. Like, just think about these things. Distance yourself a little bit from your bills. Fuck your bills for 5 minutes. Look around you and see how amazing the world is and how fast the world's changing. And ask yourself, what's your part in that? Do you want to be a drone that just obeyed orders and went and fought in World War III over some bullshit? Or do you want to be a guy who created something new and was a part of a very positive, peaceful revolution?
There you are. We were wondering when you'd show up.
Bipolar disorder is one of the most misunderstood and least well-recognized of all mental illnesses.
You are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
There is a belief that bipolar disorder is linked to being gifted either in a creative sense or intellectual.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich!
You know, manic depression and bipolar disorder is a very morbid condition.
Pick up the phone and
these doctors
back
here, they will be the first to say this is not something to take lightly.
Yeah, right.
It's about elevating that conversation to a national level and bringing mental illness out of the shadows. We want to let people living with mental health challenges know that they are not alone.
I don't know what's going on. Russia is destroying the world. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
I'm going slightly mad.
Self-destructive man feels completely alienated. Utterly alone.
He's an outsider.
Why am I so difficult to find?
He thinks to himself, I must be insane.
That's correct.
Man wants chaos.
If nothing else, I want to have created something real.
Sporadic as my thoughts come, it's mind-boggling.
People are looking at me crazy. On Jimmy Kimmel, I said, I'm a creator genius.
Right.
Like, because you ain't supposed to say that.
You were diagnosed with bipolar disorder. How did you cope with that?
You know, at first I was really angry.
But then really happy, then furious, then I really cheered up.
I'm so glad you're cured.
You're bipolar.
Wow, what does that mean? What's the cure? Medicine? Make me like them?
Yeah, right. Am I a Martian?
Depression. There's a real demon in the woods, too. A lot of creative people. Go to the craft service table, you get a cup of coffee. Robin Williams is sitting by himself, totally depleted. Ah! It didn't come for free.
Surrender may be our only option.
Bye, 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 bye.
Do it.
No! Never give up.
Change is gonna come.
Never surrender.
On my watch. Yes, it is.
The consensus is I'm bipolar.
It's a little funny in the head.
What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
It ain't about how hard you hit.
Just a little.
It's about how hard you can get hit.
Funny.
They keep moving forward. How much you can take.
And
they keep
points.
Moving forward. They keep moving forward. Keep moving forward.
99% of all new income is going to the top 1%. The top 1/10 of 1% owns almost as much as the bottom 90.
Subsides, finally.
Finally happened. A little funny in the head.
I'm by winning. Win here and I win there.
Gentlemen. Welcome.
Yeah, go on a little more detail on that. I'm going to let you talk.
More detail on why I think it's World War III.
Yeah, why are we already in World War III? I mean, we know it's a proxy war. Both sides have basically admitted that. We're backing opposite factions in a war-torn, chaotic region. So we're fighting Russia through other people. We're both helping the opposite side. And it's a really weird thing that's happening.
And that's only one piece of the puzzle. So we've got America who is fighting in Afghanistan. We've got Americans fighting in Iraq. We've got Americans fighting in Syria.
They just announced that we're deploying special forces in Syria, too.
That means it probably happened a month ago.
Right.
But so, and we've got Japanese military with, well, they don't have a military technically, but we've got Japanese people working alongside our military personnel.
Photojournalists. They're all photojournalists.
No. Actually, I worked with a bunch of Japanese people when I was in stationed at Ali Al-Saleem Air Base in Kuwait. And we worked with German people, we worked with British people, we worked with Australian people. My older brother used to be an airborne army ranger, and he fought with the Dutch military in Afghanistan. We've got Russia fighting alongside Syria. We've got Israel taking pop shots at Iran. Russia just accidentally shot some missiles into Iran a couple days ago. Oops. We've got the Kurdish people fighting the Syrian people and the Iraqis and the Turks. And we've got the Turks pissing off the Syrians. We've already got most of the major superpowers in the world.
Shit, you're right.
Fighting different people. The entire world is fighting in the Middle East.
I feel like there's a silent agreement, though, that, like, I feel like the Middle East is like the schoolyard. You know how you're like, you know what, meet me in the schoolyard after school. I'm going to whoop your ass. Like that's the place we've all agreed. We're going to go duke it out here. But, like, if you were to go to the guy's house and try to beat him up, like, that would be way more serious. But it's like both guys have to come to it. So it's not as scary to me that we're fighting there, because it's like we both agree, like, all right, I'll meet you at the Middle East and we'll fucking settle this, Russia. But yeah, I mean, that's the plus side, is that we're not fighting in any of the real, like, I would say real countries, like any of the people I'm really worried about.
Well, that's a plus side for us, but all the refugees in Syria, the 100,000 people who have died in Iraq, those people's lives matter. And this war fucking sucks for them.
Tan lives matter.
America's responsible. Yes.
Sorry, it was a bad joke, but go ahead. They asked that in the debate. Do black lives matter or do all lives matter? That was the stupidest question of the Democrat debate.
Yeah. That was a waste.
Like, those are the two options. Like, I could logically show you that if all lives matter, black lives also matter. So the correct answer is all lives, if you have to choose between those two. Let's not even get into that. That's retarded. It doesn't even deserve our attention.
Needless to say, white lives matter to white people.
They matter to
American, American
white lives super
matter to American people. American lives matter to American people. And
yeah, American lives matter.
All the chaos that America is causing in the Middle East is
black American lives kind of matter.
You said that, not me.
I got to make like a diagram. There could be a funny like Venn diagram.
Well, all colors of Americans are going to die in future terrorist attacks that have been guaranteed by our blowing the Middle East up.
All right, so you're saying that blowback is inevitable.
Blowback has already happened. I mean, we've already seen small-scale stuff, like, and just viral stuff, viral violence. You know, Muslims just seeing YouTube videos of extremism and anti-American propaganda, and then they go shoot up a Marine recruiting station, you know, down right in the dirty south. Things like that. But there's, with the amount of havoc that we have caused in the Middle East, there is a 100% chance we're going to see another September 11th level terrorist attack in America within our lifetimes.
Great. Now I'm about to move to New York. Maybe
I'm not. Yeah, you should reconsider that.
No one's attacking Missouri.
Nope. And I'm not saying I'm not saying that America deserves the blowback.
You're saying it's a cause and effect thing.
Yeah, I'm saying it's going to happen.
I'm surprised more hasn't happened, to be honest.
Frankly,
I'm surprised that 9/11 is the only real big terrorist attack we've experienced. I feel like a lot more, we've killed way more of our own people, just, you know, in terms of gun deaths in America, in terms of school shootings, in terms of suicide. I mean, we're blowing terrorists out of the water in terms of killing ourselves. So we're lucky that there hasn't been another 9/11. The sad thing is that's the excuse to continue the violence however you want to do it, because we're so attracted to that protection and afraid of it. You know what I mean? Like, say we pulled out of Syria completely, just like probably all Americans want us to do right now. And now all of a sudden there's another 9/11. And who knows who's behind that, right? Maybe it's people who really want to go to war. It's in their best interest to start a war, right? I don't know, or some type of false flag attack, or just a real attack, like you were saying. Like, it's just, you know, it might happen. Now we're in a position where it's easy to mobilize people to go fight who you point them at. And that's how world wars start, is when there's a bad thing, it's an excuse to go do worse things, and now it's just enough shit happens that it becomes a cycle of, like, I got to kill the guy wearing that uniform, or who has that skin color, or who talks that language. And it's that simple for all the people who are in the war. And that continues until there's, like, enough devastation that, you know, or some other force comes in and just wipes the board clean. And God damn it. Like, if there's a world war right now, that's so preventable, you know?
Yeah, America really went out of its way to create that, which is really frightening.
Yeah, and that's where I say you have extreme views, because I never hear anyone saying that it's actually intentional, all these problems we're seeing. We're causing them, and who's we, by the way? I'm not. I don't know anyone who fucking wants to destabilize the world. Who's behind it, you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't point it specifically. I do know that whenever I was in the military and September 11th happened and George Bush started banging the war drum saying we're going to go to war in Iraq because he had weapons of mass destruction, and I know it turned out he didn't have weapons of mass destruction, and then after we found out they didn't have it, George Bush said, yeah, we knew that, but we're doing it to liberate the Iraqi people. She knew you wouldn't buy it, so we kind of trumped that up, but we have the best intentions. I'm like,
right.
So you've been secretive and lying about it from the get-go, so why should I believe anything you have to say now?
Yeah, and never mind the fact that he was never had to face the music for any of those lies. You know, all these Americans who died, all these Iraqis, everything we're seeing now, when we know the guy lied the whole time, now his brother might be the next president. I mean, that's proof we're living in a plutocracy. The fact that that can happen, that all the people can be powerless to even put the guy on the fucking stand, you know what I mean? Like, we're not in a democracy. You're right. I mean, the fact that these guys can be that villainous and admit it. And, you know, like, it's one thing when it's a conspiracy. When the guy's not even saying, like, he's O.J. Simpsoning it at this point. He's like, if I did it. George Bush admitted he lied and created this whole thing. And there's no, you know, he's fine. And we're just going to keep going with the flow. It's weird. It's like people are hypnotized. And I think that we're very far removed from the idea of war in America. We see war as something that happens in a place we don't see, and that we're going to win no matter what because we have, like, all the nicest shit. I think that's how we view war. It's an abstract concept. None of us are ready to actually fight a war between us and some other country.
The war is coming back to America. The reality is filtering back into mainstream media, even. As all these soldiers come back from the Middle East and say, I didn't feel like I was even fighting for freedom. I don't know what I was doing.
Right.
I was just kicking in poor people's doors and frightening women's children. And that's not, I mean, I've talked to a lot of veterans, and being in the military, a lot of my friends are veterans, and I have never talked to one single infantryman. I wasn't in the infantry, but I've never talked to one infantryman who came back and said, fuck yeah, I want to go back again because I totally 100% wholeheartedly believe in what we're doing, and I can
right.
see we're making a difference. And
yeah, you're 100% right.
It's just cut and dry. Every infantryman I've ever talked to came back and said, I'm contemplating suicide because all we did was fuck people's lives up, and I don't know what we're doing. We're not the good guys.
The only thing I hear soldiers say their only motivation for fighting in those type of situations is, I'm there for the guy next to me. And when I hear that, it's just, yeah, that's admirable, but that's proof that what we're doing is not necessary. Because we would all feel this common bond and say, yeah, we're dying for something that we believe in. And if we can't send our kids over there saying, yeah, it's worth dying over this, why are we doing it? And, like, we're insane for just not speaking out against it more. Because, like what you're saying, the stakes are high. You know, we can't do all this and not expect any consequences. And
yeah. And we shouldn't have to do this on faith. You don't go to war on faith. If you're going to go to war, you need to have a cut-and-dry, clear-cut, palatable reason. And we didn't
yes.
have that in Iraq.
War is a terrible thing. It's not even like if you didn't call it war, it's terrorism. If you don't call war war, what you're talking about is devastating people's lives, killing them, destroying their homes. You're just disrupting their reality and ruining it, and killing, and you know it's terrorism. No matter who you are, I think that war is the same thing as terrorism. It's just a matter of, you know, who's saying it's terrorism. So, like, we're talking about just continuing terrorism when we invade countries and fight people and, you know, align with a certain faction, a certain side. We're, regardless of whether you think that those terrorists should be those terrorists, whenever we're fighting a war, we are perpetuating some form of terrorism on an enemy. And so the question then becomes, when do we need to do that, if ever? And if we are doing it now, why?
Exactly. And there's, think of all the trillions and trillions of dollars that have been poured into this war. Mm-hmm. We went into this war for some reason that the public doesn't understand, the public hasn't been told about. And we've invested trillions and trillions of dollars into it. That is like the biggest lie in history that
right.
we still don't have an answer for. And we should be really pissed off about that.
A wise man once said that those who see the future see the past, right? And
yep.
so we need to, I said that, but we need to look at World War One, right? How did that start? That started over some bullshit, right? This Archduke Ferdinand guy got assassinated. And like, I saw this video that basically argued the main reason World War One happened was one of these countries, I forget who it even was, built up this big fancy navy pretty much for no reason and wanted to use it. I mean, it's kind of what it boiled down to. And then there was a bunch of that, you know, a bunch of like just the guys in charge wanted to use their toys and wanted to assert their influence and had, you know, different interests in mind and going into the war, things they wanted to take out of it. And it escalated and escalated and escalated to the point where people are just spending their whole lives trying to kill each other and they have no idea why. And that, to me, is hell. That was hell, World War One. And
yeah.
if we look at today, the same thing's happening. We're amassing newer and better weapons and cooler planes and cool, you know, just like more and more weapons. And the other countries are doing this to keep up. And that was what the Cold War was, right? It never kicked off. But when we have all of these weapons, if you get someone in power who says, hey, let's use them, that's how a war starts. All it takes is, like, if Donald Trump was like, hey, I want to make my name on the map. It's on the buildings. It looks good. I want it on maps. Oh, yeah, all it takes is a couple guys like that in charge of those countries. And if their troops are all willing to do what they're told, then that's it. And next thing you know, your whole life becomes I have to defend myself from people trying to kill me, and I have to go kill people. And that's – we're animals again.
When the Iraq War first kicked off and everybody was wondering what the hell we were doing this for, even the military were like, weapons of mass destruction, all right, we can go with that, but, I mean, it kind of sounds trumped up. But I heard a lot of people, even in the military, who were like, oh, George Bush just wants to finish what his daddy started. He wants to one-up his daddy, or George Bush wants to go to war for his approval rating.
His approval with his father rating. I think it literally was that. The guy wanted to make his dad proud. I think it could have been something as simple as that.
The messed up thing about American conspiracy theories is, no matter what conspiracy theories you've heard, no matter what conspiracy theories you believe, there's a lot more crazy stuff going on that you would ever even imagine. The truth is would just dwarf our craziest suspicions. But
we're at a point where it doesn't even matter. Like, we don't even need to really reflect too much on why this happened. We need to look at it and say, why are we continuing it?
Well, before we get to that, let me just mention that there's a pretty good rule of thumb that you can apply to any conspiracy theory in history. If you take any tragic, crazy, unexplainable event and you want to know why it happened, ask yourself who profited the most from it, and you're probably getting close to the target.
That's a great point. It's not necessarily true that, you know, that's why, but it's a good indicator of, you know, the motive's there.
And, I mean, for any crime to be committed, you need a motive. Sure, we could say George Bush. George Bush may have had a motive to one-up his daddy, but I can tell you that Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Northrop Grumman, all these weapon industries.
Yeah, it's war propaganda.
They have immense power. They have immense lobbying power in the government. They have lots of people in the government, and their entire livelihood, their legacies depend on us being at war. Their profits depend on war. And America's economy needs sweatshops in Vietnam. We need oil from Saudi Arabia. We need fruit from South America. We need water from Fiji. We need to export our problems to other countries and import their resources for the Kardashians to live the lifestyle that they live. And for our companies not to get overrun by up-and-coming Indian and Chinese companies. So we have every single economic motive to go to war without having to speculate about modern day royalties making flippant decisions.
Yeah, and your theory for how to kind of counteract this and sort of fix it is sustainability, which is an interesting fix because it's so simple. You're basically saying we need to create a system where we can take care of our country from our country, and we need to allow other countries to do the same.
We need to take it to even more local level than that. If you take every city in the world and you make them all self-sustainable, they can. I don't care what political system they have. I don't care if they're communist, capitalist, socialist, fascist, anything. If you can take every city and make sure that it can provide the people within its borders that all the food, all the butter, all the electricity that they need, then their resources are covered, their people's lives are secure, everybody has everything you need to achieve self-actualization. Nobody needs to go fight other people and kill other people and claim their land,
right,
and claim their resources, or
and it's hard to sell people on that idea.
I think the world.
No, I mean, if you have that type of world in place, it's hard to sell people on the idea that they need to go kill people to sustain their lifestyle. Because I could see the American people being a lot more for a war if, you know, all of a sudden jeans cost $300, and you know, like if there was some disruption to our convenience, I could see us immediately being like, whoa, who's fucking with us? You know, and I could see people getting behind that. And it is possible for that to happen because of the way that our economies are intertwined. And that's where it's all really starting, I think, is from an economic standpoint. And oil's been the big thing. I mean, it's during World War II, I don't want to get on too much of a segue, but, you know, everyone talks about how Hitler invaded Russia and it was a huge mistake and it was stupid and, you know, probably so. But I saw an interesting thing. There was a Netflix, called it Nazflix, because there's so many Nazi movies on there. But there was a thing they did that was called, what was it called? I think it was like World War II from Space, something like that, where it basically just made everything look like it was on a map, like on a Google Maps type of thing, where they showed it from space. And the reason they argued that he invaded Russia was because he needed to basically get the oil to sustain the war. And it was basically, it was like that simple, that he wanted more oil because he was running out. And when we have a global economy that runs on oil, then a place that has oil becomes, it's like a well everyone has to share. And then if you got one guy coming and taking most of the water, someone else is going to come and want, and maybe fight him to get more of the water, trying to, you know, there's going to be a lot of fighting over water if everyone needs it from one well. But when we have the technology to make it so we don't have to go to that well anymore, you know, we can have our own wells, or, you know, we don't even need wells anymore. We got some other way to get water. Like, and I'm talking about electric cars. I'm talking about all these things that don't require oil, and don't require especially oil from that particular region of the world. It could be that simple. I mean, if that's what we're really fighting over, why? We don't need to. Everyone could have it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone can have the things they want for their countries independently, like you're saying. Why are we fighting over one spot? It's fucking retarded. It's like the Israel thing. It's like all these cultures are fighting over a spot. You know, that like they all hate each other and they're all neighbors and they all want to control a spot, a city. And you look at how big the world is and how concentrated we are and how, I don't know, like reliant we are on just things that already exist. Instead of looking around and saying, hey, we can create new shit at any point if we decided to. You know, we look at the roads here, those were built for military purposes. That's the only reason we have a highway system. Eisenhower made it. When's the last time we did something like that? You know, why don't we have high-speed solar-powered trains? Why don't we have, like, there's so many things we could be doing locally, and everyone else could be doing.
Instead, we're building still bombers.
Instead, we're building, you know, B-3s so that we can better bomb places that are going to try to get water from that well that we need it from. You know, and that's where all the corruption comes into play and all the special interests. And it reaches a point where, like you said, if a few people have all the money and you need the money to become a politician, then a few people can basically control the country. And if they control the country, they can send us to war. And that's a very scary thing. And that's why I think what Bernie Sanders is doing is so important, because he's got a campaign that's not financed by billionaires. It's financed by me, financed by individuals who donate money. And he wants to redistribute wealth. He's a socialist. He wants to take the money from those 400 people and use it in a way that benefits everyone, which at the end of the day, we should all be saying, fuck yeah, because why do 400 people have all the wealth to begin with? You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's no one who – it is not in our best interest to let those people who have been, you know, allowing the system to perpetuate to continue running things and to leave us where we are right now. and not even to leave us with what we have, but to always want more from us. We're in a system, and this is that episode you listened to, I think why you decided to come on the show, that episode 10, Viva la Revolution, bro, where I talk about this idea that we're in a culture that's designed to always keep us imprisoned, sometimes literally, like we see with the drug war. If you're not literally imprisoned, you're imprisoned by finance. You are required to pay your dues to live in a place. And that's always interest accruing on that, you know, mortgage you have, that the rent you have to pay. Everything is designed so you always have to pay. And so you have to work to pay. And then you have to do what these corporations want you to do to live. And that's our system. And that's what we're okay with. And to me, it's madness that we've all agreed to just live our lives, in a sense, as comfortable slaves. Because a handful of people have determined that's our fate. And it doesn't have to be that way. And it's not in the best interest of anyone for that to be the reality.
And so, like, in the best interest for those 400 people.
Yeah, that's the only people it's in the interest of. And they've brainwashed us to believe that they worked for it, they earned it, we don't deserve it, and we're wrong for, you know, we're like a traumatized fucking kid. You know, like we're like
a
kid
who's been beaten.
What is it?
Battered person syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. We have battered person syndrome, where we believe that we are lucky to have what we have, that it could be taken from us at any moment, and that we need to just shut the fuck up and do our work. And to contest the system we have is to remove yourself from it, you know, from the possibility of becoming one of these powerful people. And it's to claim that you think it, we should be communists. And, you know, people jump to extremes. When you say something that makes a lot of fucking sense, like everyone shouldn't be in debt. You know, like we shouldn't all always be in debt. If I say something like that, everyone would probably agree on an individual basis. Like if I came to you and said, hey, check this box and you stay in debt. Check this box and you don't have any more debt. Everyone's going to check the box they don't have any more debt. But why wouldn't we say it collectively when we say, would we rather live in a system where it's exactly like it is now? Or would we rather live in something completely different where we have a new reality, where we're not having to live in debt because we're smart enough to realize that people should be able to live out their individual lives, and that it doesn't have to be all concentrated and controlled by these handful of people who just brainwash us into thinking that this is our lot in life and this is the way it is, the way it's meant to be. Don't question it. If you do, you're a communist. If you do, you're this bad word, you know? And I think that the people are waking up, because if you were to ask me a year ago, if I would ever, 5 years ago, even a year ago, if you were to ask me, would I ever be a socialist? Would I ever vote for a socialist candidate? I would fucking laugh you out the door. I would never think that I could vote for anyone who's a socialist. I hate the idea. I'm like an Ayn Randian, you know?
Yeah, and the fucked up thing about that is, I mean, socialism isn't a horrible, evil, encroaching, murderous entity that American kids are raised to believe. And other countries, all the European countries, they all have socialist political parties, and people vote for socialist politicians all the time. And it's just, they're not creepy, evil, weird people. And the politicians running on a socialist party aren't creepy, weird people. They're just people who want workers to make more money.
Yeah, it's just that, it's just the associations people have with it, like I had with it. But if you ask me the individual issues, I agree. You know, I think that we should be doing things that would be considered socialist, because I care about myself and others. And like anyone who does, supports things that help themselves and others. Why would you oppose that? And I think that that's the only reason you're seeing a socialist leading the polls in a presidential election for one of the parties. I mean, it's unfathomable a year ago. But that show, yeah, that goes to show that, like, I think there's a silent majority, like Reagan used to say, of people who are kind of waking up to the fact that their government stopped serving them a long time ago, and that it's going to take a kind of radical candidate for there to be a chance of that changing. And I think that people are just wising up to the fact that they're being fucked.
And it's taking a long time, though, because more than any other country in the world, Americans are, it's in our history books. We're, from the time we're born, we're inundated with propaganda saying that anything other than the capitalist system that we've got is absolutely evil. And
true.
We have a moral duty, a God ordained duty to stamp out anything other than exactly what we've cut. And so we all sit around in our houses bitching about all the bills that we have to pay and all the stress that we have to deal with and how humiliated we are at work and how hard it is to save and how life is just a freaking meteor shower of unexpected pills that are going to whittle away your savings and keep you forced to have your nose to the grindstone. Our lives suck. That's why we have so many school shootings. That's why we have so much violence on the streets. Everybody's just so stressed out and miserable.
Yeah, we're dissatisfied.
From the grind. But once you say, all right, so you're miserable, you hate what's happening, let's try something else, then the propaganda kicks in, and then our instincts rely on
it's so deeply ingrained in us. It's so deeply ingrained in us because I believe that, like, when we're kids, certain things are instilled in us, like our religion, our, like you were saying, that things were kind of brainwashed by our cultures to believe. And those are so deeply ingrained that it's very hard to ever override them. But we have to. We have to evolve because we don't want to live our lives like that anymore. And I think that what's going to allow us to progress is the realization that the values that are good about America and that we all hold as Americans, the belief in self-determination, the belief in hard work, and the belief of an individual's ability to do. I think that's what America is really about. Like, we believe that if you work, if you put your mind to it, you can do something with your life. And that does not have to be exclusive to capitalism. And when capitalism doesn't enable people to do that, we have to realize that capitalism has become in itself un-American.
Well, it's not that capitalism itself is inherently evil and causing the problems. It's just capitalism in America has evolved into what I call predatory capitalism. This is not just a simple capitalism. Is just private ownership exists. You can own private property. You can own the means of production.
And you can freely trade.
Own your own stuff. That's fine. All right. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's only a little piece of what our economy is. Our economy is designed to make the rich richer. Our economy isn't designed to create businesses that achieve the greatest good. Our economy is designed to create businesses that make the most profit for the owners and the investors and the shareholders. And so in this, we've taken this simple idea and taken it to this far extreme where money is the bottom line and people are disposable.
Yeah.
Which makes it really difficult to try to talk to Americans raised with American capitalist propaganda because they just won't hear anything bad. Is capitalism, if there's anything wrong with capitalism, then you must be an evil communist, an evil socialist, an evil whatever. It doesn't matter. You're just evil. But the argument is more nuanced. It's not just is capitalism evil or not. It's we've got this out of control, whacked out mutation of capitalism that has stopped serving the great good.
Well, here's where I'm optimistic. Here's where I'm optimistic, Travis. I'm just gonna call you Sloth, so you're not targeted. Here's where I'm optimistic, Sloth. The people who are a part of this whole system are all people. And people can be intelligent. People can have their minds change. People can unite. And I think the American people are good people deep down. And if it's good people who make up these corporations that do bad things, but do it for what they believe to be good, the right reasons, all it takes is removing the bad guys who are in charge and replacing them with good guys. And then we can have this paradigm shift, and we can apply all that good work and all that goodwill and all that good everything, all the good things about America. We can apply it in the right way, because I really think that there's a thirst within all of us who have those values that, you know, are so deeply ingrained in us, the good ones, that we want to put that to work, and we want to see the world improve around us. We want to explore, we want to expand, we want to improve, we want to help each other. But the problem is that we're so brainwashed into believing that it's wrong to help. It's wrong to ask for help. It's wrong to work together. Like, we're so siloed. And all we just see our individual bank account and our individual bills and our
and that's an American value. If you go to other countries, you won't see that so much.
You're right.
Americans have been raised on this propaganda that says it's me versus you. We all have to fight to make
it's all competition.
The doggy dog world, business is war.
Yes.
No other country in the world has the saying business is war.
Right. Or time is
money.
We were
raised like that.
Yeah, it's that, I'm trying to remember, but there, I took like a games, you know, those games and decisions class in college, and they talked about this idea that, you know, there's games where there has to be a winner and loser, and there's games where everyone can win and everyone can lose. And, you know, there's different types of games. We're raised to believe that there's one type of game. You win, someone else loses. Or you lose, someone else won. And you need to always be the winner.
The person who wins is the best and the good guy. And if you lost, it was your own fault and you deserve to lose.
And that's
a
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Misery.
And like, it doesn't have to be that way. And that's what I'm hoping people will wake up to. The fact that like, our goal shouldn't be, I want to win and you have to lose. Our goal should be, we all want to win. You know, like that. It's that simple. Like, we all want to win and we're okay with each other winning. Because a win no longer means everyone else loses. It means that, you know, we got the thing we wanted. And when we have the thing we want, we can help other people get the things they want. And that's really what it should come down to. And it's so hard because we're caught in these cycles where we owe debt and we owe money. And we owe, you know, it's every moment of our existence is like owned by someone else. And we have to pay money to have time to ourselves. Just to be alone, just to be allowed to exist. We need to pay for that.
This is a system that our beloved government, that so many people refuse to criticize, has created and is allowed to perpetuate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, look at Obamacare. Forced every single American to buy health insurance that's basically useless. Got such high deductibles and high monthly premiums that you're paying for almost nothing. Sure, everybody can be insured, but that just means everybody gets to get raped by insurance companies, and if you don't buy it,
everyone gets shitty insurance.
Then you get fined by the government. You get punished for not giving your money away. This is our government creating, working really hard to create the conditions where we're locked in debt slavery, where we always have as much money going out as we have coming in.
Yeah,
and our housing market is another example of that. Anytime you buy any property, once you factor in taxes and all your other, your interest and your fees, you're paying twice the advertised amount. So if you want to buy a $100,000 house, you're going to end up paying $200,000. That's going to keep you barely able to make your mortgage.
Right.
And that system... It's an incredibly, if you've ever bought ask anyone who's ever bought a house, it is just a mind-boggling bureaucratic nightmare. It's so complicated, you have to hire somebody to help you. And this whole just insanely complicated system was created by our government and is managed by our government. And we say, oh, you can't criticize the government, it's wonderful, it's all beautiful, then why does our banking system a crime against humanity? And
yeah,
why is our healthcare system a crime against humanity? And why are police hunting us on the street?
Yes,
driving in RoboCop-looking vehicles.
Why am I afraid of the police?
Dollars.
Why am I a white guy afraid of the police? And if I'm afraid of the police, what must it be like to be a black guy or a Mexican guy? Or, you know, like, it's, we live in a scary place. And, like, the government is not this monolithic, evil, the empire thing. It's a confusing thing. I don't know how to make sense of it, but you're right that there is a system in place that's designed, like we both agree on this, to always keep us working for it until we die or until we're unable to be of use. And I think a lot of that is just so we can't organize and we can't take time to think for ourselves and we can't function the way we would otherwise function, because that's a threat to the current system. And you sound weird when you say these type of things, and you sound like all cuckoo, but no, it, like what we're saying is true. And I remember there's two things I want to say real quick. So one was when you were talking about how everything's designed so that we're always, as much money is coming in is all going out, you know, and we're going to have to pay more next month. I remember being in California when I was like kind of apartment shopping, and this was when I was coming out of grad school, about to go to law school. I was really excited because I was going to finally be out of this house I was renting a room in for a year, where I basically was away from everyone. And again, a lot of isolation. And I was excited to be like around people again. And I was apartment shopping, and I remember overhearing a conversation a guy was having about trying to lease out a place. And he was saying like, okay, so yeah, I'm willing to pay that rate. Like, let's do it. And she was like, okay, well, you know, this is the monthly rate, and like, we're going to have to check your credit score and all that. He was like, look, I don't do credit cards. I don't do any of that. Like, I got the cash. I'll just pay for it all in advance. And the lady's like, oh, we don't do it that way. You have to pay monthly, and you have to do it through, you know, like a checking account. Like, you know, like, there were all these rules that made no sense. Like, it was clearly designed a very specific way, where it's like, you have to pay each month this way. You can't pay for it all at once. You know, it would be the same price, and that would make sense. There were just little things like that that make me think. It was like sort of a red flag. It's like, why? Why is everything monthly? Why is everything seemingly designed so that I have to pay it a little at a time? And then if I look at how expensive it is, it's almost always like an algorithm where it's hard to get around that. It's like that's what it's going to cost if this is what you're going to make. Like, you could live in San Francisco, make a bunch of money. The rent's going to be like $3,000 a month for a shitty apartment. It's like a universal, not universal, but it's like, in America, it's like a thing where the wages are going to coincide with the rent. And as much as they could suck away with the housing market, they're going to. And then what they don't get with that, they're going to get with your car payment, and with your health insurance, with your car insurance. And with, you know, by the time they're done, you're going to have nothing left. And I think that's all intentional. And that's all because there's fucking 400 dudes collecting all of that. The other point I want to make, I don't know if there's a point, but the other thing I want to say was, here's my experience with Obamacare. And here's where I differ from liberal people, where I'm pretty liberal, most people would probably say. But I'm with you on this. I think Obamacare is bullshit. Because here was my experience. I had to fill out a bunch of forms, do a bunch of shit online on a website that didn't work. And then I got big envelopes in the mail with like 10 pages telling me that I didn't qualify because my state wasn't going along with some plan. And like, so basically, like, they spent all this money to mail me these things that were really thick that just said, you're fucked. And that was like, I was like, really? That's it? That was this giant revolutionary healthcare change? Was it, you know? It's a clusterfuck, and it nothing, like you said, it doesn't seem better. It doesn't, like, we want it, we hope it was, we want it to have been better, but I don't think it was fixed. And it was a simple fix. It should have been, okay, now healthcare is taken care of. Like, you can go to the hospital, and they're going to just take care of you, and don't worry about it. Like, that could be it. I mean, people want to help people. They want to fix people's problems. You know, people aren't going to go to the hospital for fun. We go when we need to, and we don't go when we need to because it costs too much. And it's one of those things where it's imaginary. The money's imaginary here. People are sick, treat them, you know? Doctors can make advancements, let them make the advancements. Let them use it on people. Just compensate everyone fairly. And that could all be paid with our taxes, and it would be a small fraction of what we spend on military and what we spend on the current healthcare system because all the bankruptcies and, you know, we could go on for hours talking about this. But well, I guess the bottom line is
it wouldn't work. It was like we couldn't have a system. I would not want a system like we have in, like they have in Britain, where everybody pays taxpayer dollars in and is paid to the hospitals, and then you just get to go free. Because I mean, that's a great idea in theory, and British people absolutely love it. And if I had to choose between the system we have here and that system, I would totally take that system. But the problem is our whole fundamental principle of our economy is that everything has to cost as much as possible so this person selling it can make as much money as possible.
We just need to put caps on it. That's the only thing missing. Just put caps on what you're allowed to charge for things, and then all that bullshit goes out the window.
And that is the ultimate heresy in a predatory capitalist economy. That is, I mean, if a politician got up and said that they wanted to put profit caps or salary caps, that would get you assassinated. Because that is...
Well, to me, it's totally common sense. It's fucking common sense. And that was the part of the healthcare thing that was never discussed. There was a great, I think, New York Times piece or Time Magazine. Some reporter did this massive story on it. And it was just the fact that things cost way too much. It's not just that insurance is expensive. It's that insurance is expensive because everything costs way more than it should. And hospitals charge you way more than they should. And it's just a question of why does everything...
Nothing in the world is more expensive than medical training. Why?
Yeah,
that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing that we need. So that should be the cheapest. But since
they should pay you. They should pay you to become a fucking doctor. You shouldn't have to pay anything. It's like if you have the ability and the desire to help me when I'm sick, dude, I'll shell out for you to go to school. You shouldn't owe me. You know, if I'm the fucking whoever's in charge, it's insane. We have people who want to do good. That's the tragedy in America right now. We have so much talent that's untapped, and so many people want to be doing so much more in their lives than they are, but they can't because, you know, bills, because fucking, you know, the mortgage. Because it's like as long as we respect bills and banks as if they're God, they will be God. It's not until we tell banks to go fuck themselves and give us a system that's fair and we'll pay that that'll change, I think. Or we elect people who are willing to say that sort of thing. But it's one of those things, like, it's a common sense fix. Like you said, you pay a certain amount, everyone can get treated, and there's a cap on how much it can cost so that there's not price gouging to take advantage of the fact the government's footing the bill. Problem solved. You and I could have solved it in a half hour.
Instead, we're not the only people,
and it doesn't work.
That just goes to show how powerless we are. I mean, because people all over the country just sitting on their front porches have solved all of these problems in simple little conversations just like this. But it doesn't matter because solution makers don't make it into politics. Professional campaigners are the only people
who
are allowed entry.
That's what's changing, and I think that's our hope. And I think that's because of the internet. It sounds silly, but I think that's it.
No, the internet is 100% responsible for all the progress that has been made in our lifetime.
Yeah, because you can no longer trick me with propaganda. You can no longer silence me. You could no longer prevent the people with the best ideas from sharing those ideas. It's much harder to obscure facts. So say everyone agrees that what we just came up with is a great idea. Now we could go online and get X number of people to sign a petition and say they agree. Now we can quantify it. And we can say, like, look, we have a political system where it could work. you know, we have the resources now to create a democracy that's functional. Because if we were to just take the democracy online, it would fucking work. Look at Reddit. It's, you know, it's for jokes and articles and shit. That technology could be used for democracy. Like, that's real democracy, Reddit. It's not used to govern the country. But, like, look at that. That is democracy, the way that site is run, is real democracy. And so, you know, we have the fix. We have the resources to fix it. It's just a matter of, I don't know, the right people coming along and ushering in that change.
We also need people directing their anger and their thoughts and their resources in the right direction. And I don't think our best hope test is organizing people on the internet to enact political reform. I don't think we need them to organize people to vote for Bernie Sanders. And even if I like everything Bernie Sanders says, but let's be realistic. Even if he did get put in the White House, he's going to run into the exact same thing Obama ran into.
Right.
Times
he's not. He doesn't become king of America.
They won't. The Republican Party won't let him do anything. And I think most of the Democrats wouldn't let him do anything either, because they're all working for 400 people who already have an agenda. There's so much money. I mean, the entire military is invested in the system. All the money in politics, all the money of America is invested in keeping the system going. I think organizing people to enact political reform is, you know,
it just needs to happen across the board, not just president. That's the thing. Like, if people get organized enough and it's done through a technological means that's convenient and accessible by everyone, like everyone being our generation, you know, the people who are about to take the reins, just in terms of, oh, the people are going to die and we're going to be the ones left. You know, if we organize and elect all our congressmen the same way we're trying to elect presidents now, then we can get all good congressmen in place. And that's where the money ceases to control the outcome, because it used to be posters and billboards and commercials and shit. And that used to be how you brainwash people. That's gone because everyone's online.
Think about this. We could get everybody, we could organize everybody on Reddit to dump all their money into supporting specific candidates and hoping that they create policies that we all want. Or we could take all of that money and just use it to immediately, right now, build sustainable infrastructure and build living situations where we have all of our food, water, and healthcare already immediately available. And we don't even have to ask the government for anything. We don't even have to care what the government does.
If you're essentially talking about starting your own government.
We don't even need to start our own government. Government is, as long as we can create living situations where we're completely self-sustainable, it doesn't matter what else is happening in the world. It doesn't even matter what's happening in Washington. We can go on with our lives without having to stress about bills. We can spend our free time making love and taking online classes and achieving self-actualization instead of fighting for our survival and fighting our neighbors for the best jobs. We don't need to ask permission. We don't need the government's approval. We can just build a better system. And as long as everybody has what they need and we don't create a complicated bureaucracy that tries to control people, we can just get on about our lives.
I think you're right, man. I think you have a very innovative approach to solving these problems. And it's not necessarily to attack the system and try to fix it. It's to kind of just distance yourself from the system and create a new thing locally, and to just worry about local politics. Like they say, all politics is local. And to my point, though, in terms of electing officials, it doesn't take money anymore. It just takes attention. And if, like Bernie Sanders' campaign, that's how I found out about it on Reddit. And that's how the only reason I really bought into it is because I was reading things and were being upvoted by people on Reddit. And, you know, so that's just my point with technology is that it no longer costs a fortune for someone to get popular. You know, it doesn't cost a fortune for an idea to get out there. And that's the difference. And I think that when you take that away, now the banks no longer control people's attention. And so the greatest threat to that is just if they try to take over the internet, which hopefully they don't. We got to draw this episode to a close pretty soon. It's going to be a bitch to edit, but we had a lot of good conversation here. It'll probably be a two-parter. Yeah, let's plug your blog. So it's The Wise Sloth. What's the exact website?
TheWiseSloth.com.
Perfect. Wise Sloth, TheWiseSloth.com. Check it out. This is a guy who spent a lot of time thinking about shit and writing about it for nothing, for free, for you. And he's a wise person. Like I said, I'm a wise guy. He's a wise man. And I recommend you go to his site and read his ideas and, you know, take from them what you will. I want to thank him for coming on today and for contributing to this show and to whatever that inspires in you, our listeners. And it's my hope that by doing this show and by him doing his blog, that we're doing what we can to fix the world. And if everyone were to do what they could to fix the world, you know, instead of looking up and asking for permission or putting your head down and listening to orders, you know, we could fix it. There's fucking water on Mars, people. We just found out there's water on Mars. That's some crazy shit. That means there might have been life on Mars. Like, just think about these things. Distance yourself a little bit from your bills. Fuck your bills for 5 minutes. Look around you and see how amazing the world is and how fast the world's changing. And ask yourself, what's your part in that? Do you want to be a drone that just obeyed orders and went and fought in World War III? Over some bullshit? Or do you want to be a guy who created something new and was a part of a very positive, peaceful revolution? That's what I hope we're all a part of. And any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think one of the first thing that we need to do to enact change in the world is to talk about the change that needs to happen. And there's a lot of people might think that the time for talking is over. It's time for action. Yeah, it is the time for action, but action follows ideas, and we all need to get a lot smarter, and we need to talk about these ideas first and foremost and get things out, because until we do that, we're not going to be able to be the change we want to see in the world.
Yeah, and it's all out there. If you want to be intelligent, there's never been a better time.
Our recording ironically cut off there. I like to imagine that the powers that be heard what I was saying, knew that it could inspire some major ideas, some shifts, some stuff, some revolution, and they cut it off. They killed it. But I'm recording this to end that thought. So there's never been a smarter time, a better time to be alive if you want to be smart. And I'm too lazy to go get the microphone, so this part probably sounds weird. I've been really depressed this month, I'm going to be honest. There's more stuff probably on the website about it, but it's been a very tough month for me, and shitty month, to be honest. But hopefully things turn around, and I'd like to make our next episode go more into something very specifically mood disorder oriented, because I feel like we haven't covered enough of that on the show, and so I want to get into that for my bipolar buddies out there. Hang in there. And thanks for listening. Bye.